If you are able, would you please stand with us? And let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 526.
I mentioned to Justin, I was hoping that this microphone up here wasn't really picking up the voices on this side, because he and I kind of claimed fame that we are probably not the best singers in the building. So we're hoping that you didn't pick that up on our side. We welcome you to the First United Methodist Church here in Warsaw on this beautiful morning, and be sure that you look at your bulletin, look at the things that are going to be going on this coming week. We want to remember those that are either living in assisted living or might be in the hospital or in nursing homes that need a little extra care. And I see Vicki back there, and she reminded me that maybe a couple of people had mentioned that we have a date that's still showing July. We just want you to know that you are at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
It is August, but everything that's printed is correct, but just has the wrong date.
We just want to make sure everyone's paying attention.
That's correct. So if you would join me in prayer, bow your heads. Our dear Lord of gifts, we give you our thanks in this time of budget deficits and pessimism toward our fellow man. We ask that you give us direction. Give leaders of the United States and leaders of the other countries in our world to make wise decisions that will help pull us all together and make us move in the right direction. Please be with the families of Brad Green and Louise Falmer as they mourn the recent loss of their loved ones. Be with the teachers, administrators, and especially the students as they begin a new school year. Go Wildcats. Also, be with the military families and the servicemen and women who bravely protect the freedom that hopefully we don't take for granted. In these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Genesis. Where is Genesis in the Bible, in the Old or the New Testament? Yes, in the Old Testament. I'm glad you think that's humorous. Genesis chapter 12 should be a very easy book to find if you've never been around a Bible much. It is the first book in our Bible. If you'd close the finger or close your Bible on your finger and stand with me if you're able, let us raise those Bibles high above our heads and say the Bible pledge today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in your Bibles or on your Nooks, iPads, whatever you have, if you would open that up to Genesis 12, we'll read the first three verses of chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, good morning. Good morning. As a lot of you may have seen on our announcements, that Yuck Night is actually this evening with the youth. And so if you have anybody that's interested in putting on yucky clothes and getting Sloppy Joe smeared all over them, or what is it this year? Have any ideas?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a well and chocolate syrup.
Yeah. Yeah, probably a little bit of vomiting going on, but that's all part of good Yuck Night, right? But Yuck Night, what's that? A lot of fun, yeah, definitely a lot of fun. So Yuck Night is kind of a special night for me, in a sense, in a weird way. But Yuck Night last year was actually the first time Stacy and I came to Warsaw to interview for that weekend. So we're looking at about a year now from whenever we came to first visit. And I remember some of the first folks that we met were actually Randy and Marsha. And the twins were actually there, too. So
and
it's funny
still.
That
decided to come here.
Yeah, and we still, we say, well, we drove all this way, so we might as well get something to eat, and then we'll talk about it after that. So very neat for Stacy and I as far as that goes. And a lot of you know before that, some of you might not know, but before we came to Warsaw, we actually spent a year living in South Korea where we were English teachers. We taught English as a second language. And something that was going over there last summer was the World Cup. How many of you watched last year's World Cup? Anybody watch any of that? Okay, great. This proves my point. Evidently, the World Cup is just, it's a huge deal to everyone except Americans. If you, you know, that every country, they love their soccer. They love their, as they would call it, football. I mean, they just go head over heels for it. We weren't exactly big fans either of the World Cup, but our boss was just all on board. The Korean team was supposed to be good this year, and he would actually give cancel work so that people could go home and watch the game. I mean, that's how important it was to them. And just imagine our college football our NFL season, the playoffs, bowl games, all that rolled into one. That's how they feel about their soccer. And so we got the day off, we thought, well, you know, we'll become fans in a sense. And so we turned the game on, and Stacy and I would play a board game while the game was going on. And keep in mind, Seoul, we were living in Seoul, which the metro area comprises of 25 million people. Just as a point of comparison, I think Missouri is about 6 million. As far as 2009 goes, it's 6 million. And so we were watching the game, and you would see the Korean team score a goal. And I remember muting the TV and opening the window, and you just hear the city erupt. I mean, just cheers. There's just really nothing like it. And so seeing that was really, really kind of neat in that aspect. And one of the things I remember was a commercial that Nike ran during the 2010 World Cup. And Bradley, if you want to go ahead and start pulling that up for me. But this is something that really stuck out to me, and I thought that it really presented a great message. And so as he is getting that ready, I want you guys just to watch that. And then we'll talk about it a little bit. So again, if you're not a big fan of soccer, you probably won't necessarily catch and totally take in how big and how important it is to these different countries that these particular players do well in their particular sport or whatever. And sorry if you couldn't quite see that well enough. We'll see if we can't get that maximized for next time. But you saw one player in particular, a guy named Wayne Rooney. He's actually a British player, and you saw in one moment he made a play and the ball was taken from him, and you see just fans ripping his posters off the wall. The stock market crashes. He's all of a sudden now he's got a job painting the lines on one of the local soccer fields. He's got this grizzly beard walking out of his trailer to see just an advertisement of the guy that took the ball from him. And then all of a sudden, he's just back to present day. And then he runs the guy down, steals the ball back from him. And all of a sudden, he's being knighted by the queen, to which he stands up and gives her a hug. All of these babies are being named after him. He's playing Roger Federer and just killing him at ping pong. Just everything all of a sudden is going right for him. And this clip shows in sort of an exaggerated way how a decision can change something forever. And I also thought it was funny, a lot of people say that Wayne Rooney looks like Shrek. And if you look at him just right, you can kind of see that. But I think the ears kind of do something, and just his teeth too. But I don't have him grinning on that one. But what this clip does, I think, is it shows us how one decision can completely change something forever, whether that's better or for worse. And I want you to go ahead and flip back open to Genesis 12, and we're actually going to look at a passage that comes right before that. So if you were already at 12, just go back a little bit in chapter 11 to verse 27. And we're gonna unpack this a little bit. Where is Genesis in your Bible, by the way? It's good to repetition. It's good. I'm gonna read a little of this for you. It's not on the screen, and I'll just sort of point out what I want you to get. Starting in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 11. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Izach. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Okay, so here's where it begins to get interesting in verse 31. Terah, which is the father of Abram, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now there's the person Haran, and then there's the place Haran. In the Hebrew, they're actually quite different, but for our purposes, we're going to mainly talk about the place of Haran. And anyone who's had any experience with the Bible, been in church, has probably heard of Abram. Abram is a very well-known figure in Scripture. God calls Abram to be the father of many nations. This is the passage that Eric read earlier in Genesis 12, that he was going to make him the father of many nations, that he was going to bless his children, that there would just be so many different kids, and all nations will be blessed because of Abram. And because God promised Abram to give him this land, the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan is known as the Promised Land. So if you've ever heard that, you've heard the Promised Land, that's the land of Canaan. This is also will become the kingdom of Israel. So anytime you think land of Canaan, Promised Land, Israel, people are still, for hundreds and hundreds of years, people are still fighting over this land, the land of Canaan, Israel. And now and we also mentioned Ur of the Chaldeans. Ur of the Chaldeans is actually an ancient city and would later become Babylonia, which was the seat of the Babylonian Empire. And today, that city is known as what? Can anybody tell me? Baghdad. Okay? Baghdad in Iraq. So technically, Abram was an Iraqi. So it says that Terah is moving his family from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan, but the Bible says that he stopped. Okay? Stopped in Haran and settled there instead. So, and why is this important? A lot of scholars, and Scripture doesn't necessarily say this, but a lot of scholars believe that it was Terah who first received the call to go into the land of Canaan, because you can see it clearly here in verse 31. It says they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. Okay, so that was their purpose. That's where they were going. That's what the plan was. That's what was going to happen. It's kind of like saying, kids, get your shoes on, go to the bathroom, get in the car. We're going down to Silver Dollar City. And then somewhere along the way, you decide, you know, Buffalo's not that bad. We can stop at Taco Bell and get a taco box for about $10, feed the family, and just call it a day right there. It's just not quite the same. There's something different about it. I think we can all agree there. The Bible says that instead they settled in Haran, and it wasn't until after Terah's death that Abraham continued the journey that his father began and stepped into the land of Canaan to write history. And here, in our hands, history sits before us. In all of Scripture, Terah's name is mentioned a total of about 11 times, which most of these are mentioned in the passage that I read to you, because it just says them over and over and over again. But Abram, or what he'll be later known as Abraham, a variation of those, are mentioned over 300 times. So whatever it was that was stopping Terah didn't stop Abram. Okay, he responded to God's invitation. Abram was prepared to listen to God, respond to the call, and in that wrote the future for his family, the nation of Israel, and for all of us as followers of Jesus. I want you to turn to another passage. Go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at a young lady named Lydia. Yeah, when they pointed out the July 10th date, I was thinking, is this a bad dream, like Back to the Future, whenever you just wake up and surely don't take us back to the 110 degree days. In chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, you have Paul and Silas. And Paul is a missionary, but he is very much a church planner. Something that Paul knew early on is that he couldn't just go from city to city to preach the gospel and just leave them on their own. But he knew that he needed to establish churches among those cities. And so that's one of the things that he did. And so he goes to Philippi. Some say Philippi. He goes to Philippi, and he's there for a few days. He's hanging out. He's sort of just kind of getting the dynamics of the city down, and he hears about this Bible study, this prayer meeting that's taking place outside the city gates. And now he goes there and he meets a woman named Lydia who is in this prayer meeting. And the Bible calls Lydia a worshiper of God. That means that she does not believe in the pagan gods that are very popular in that area. She's very much in tune with the God of the Torah. She has some understanding of the Jewish law. She knows the commandments. She believes in the one true God. But she also has something that's missing. There's some gaps in there, and she's not exactly sure how to fill those. And so she's very much a seeker. She's very much seeking something out. And so that's why you find her at this prayer meeting. And a little background on Lydia, as you can read there, that she is from Thyatira. And Thyatira is a province in Asia that's known for its purple dyes, very expensive purple dyes. And so she's from there, but she also has a home in Philippi. So this girl is very wealthy. She's very rich. Look at it this way. She is a young business executive. She's got a penthouse in New York and a cottage on the beach in San Diego. Okay, she's got her own clothing line. She's the CEO and CFO of that. She has cash. She's got cars. She's wearing Versace. She's sporting the Prada. And she's about to get her own spot on Project Runway. Still, this girl has it all, but still there's something inside of her. There's something that's missing, and she just can't quite get her finger on that. And so while she's at this Bible study, Paul just shows up on just this random Tuesday morning, hits the pause button on their Bethmore Bible study, and just begins to unpack the gospel for them, begins to share what Jesus has done, how Jesus has come to fulfill the law, how he has come to save them from their sins, and he has freed them from that. And so the scripture says that Lydia, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And so she really latched onto this, and it says that her entire household was baptized. But with Lydia being a wealthy individual, she not only had family, but she also had servants. And so not just were her family, say, baptized, but the servants as well. And you can go on into verse 40 and see that her home became a gathering place for other Christians for encouragement. So not only does it impact her family, but also the servants and the church. But this Philippian church became the first church on the continent of Europe. And anyone who has studied anything about any European history knows the effect that Christianity had on that continent. I mean, there's just so much culture there and how Christianity influenced European culture for just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and so much so that it's easy to forget that it all began with one Jewish man in Judea. So God used Lydia to write the future, not just for her, not just for her family and servants, not just for the church at Philippi, but God would use her to ignite something that would just blow up the continent of Europe for the kingdom of God. So with both Abram and Lydia, God shows his will to them, and in turn they either form a nation or just completely transform dozens and dozens of nations. And going back, looking at this and looking back at our video, I just wonder, as pastors, are we inviting you into writing the future for your family? Are we inviting you into writing the future for those around you, writing the future for those in Warsaw? Are we inviting you to live out those dreams and those designs that God has put inside of you? Because I looking at this video, I gotta ask, are you on the field? Are you out there? Are you writing the history? Are you paving the way? Or are we letting you ride the bench? Are we letting you come and sit here, come visit the Sunday morning show, get your fix for the week? Because a lot of churches and a lot of church leadership can be guilty of this. We can say, come see our Sunday morning show. Please just sit, come sit and stay. Let us tell you about what other people are doing for the kingdom of God. Let us tell you how other people are influencing the world in the name of Jesus. And unfortunately, it can almost come across as a message of come, sit, stay, accept Jesus, receive Jesus, but don't follow him. We want you guys to get plugged into what God is doing. God is pioneering something new in you that can change the world. God is pioneering something new in this community. He's just waiting for you to take the call. If you're new here, if you're looking for a great place to worship, a great community to worship, this is it. This is a great place to be on Sunday morning. There are so many other ways to worship the Lord, whether that's just throughout the week, whether that's through being part of a small group, getting involved with kids ministry, youth ministry, whether you want to worship the Lord just in your giving, whether that's through Sunday school. If you have a heart for the youth of the area, the Benton County Youth Coalition has just formed and are doing a lot of great things for the youth in this area. Talk to Cynthia Bollinger, Anita Colley, Eric Dirks. They're all part of that. And I don't want this to, this is not just another sermon of, oh, I need to get plugged into the church a little bit more. What I'm saying is that God has put dreams, he's put these designs inside of you, and partner with us. Join us and let the church be the conduit through which God can change the community. You guys following me? Jesus said in Matthew 28, he charged his disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. People are writing history, writing the future, okay, doing this very thing. And at the beginning of the service, Eric had you all grab your bulletin and read the mission statement. I want you to grab that again. Pick that up again for me. Okay, and if you would, stand with me. Okay, and with one voice, let's say our mission statement again. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. Let's write the future of Warsaw with this mission statement. Okay? God's work in you and God's work through you, he can make a difference that will be felt throughout the world. Okay? God is calling you to write the future. You guys take a seat and let's pray. God, we thank you for those pioneers, God, those people that you spoke to so many years ago, the people that you speak to now, God, that are shaping the world and are literally bringing heaven down to earth, those who are feeding the homeless, those who are giving food and sending food in Africa, those who are supplying shoes in distant countries, those who are creating and digging wells so that people can have drinking water. God, we thank you that you still speak to us, Lord, and we're sorry that we dodge it. We just block it out. We drown it out, God, and we write it off, Lord. But God, just continue just to pursue us. Help us, Lord. God, move on our hearts. Just continue to speak to us. And God, as we go from this place, as we contemplate these things, Lord, help us just to analyze what we are doing in response to you. Are we responding to you? Are we on board with what you're doing? Are we pioneering the things that you've given us? God, we ask this and we just ask you for your grace in that, and we say that in your name. Amen. Our hymn is Blessed Assurance. I don't have the number on that, but what's that? 369, and the altars are open. If you just guys want to come up here and spend a little time in prayer, it's free for you to do that.
this time, if our ushers will come forward, we ask that you think deeply and pray about what you are doing and what you are giving to the church. Remember that we as Methodists are a missional church, and we go way beyond the borders of this building. We go not only out into our community, into our state, and into our country, but we go around the world. So if the ushers will come forward, we ask that you bless us.
Again, thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. We pray that you have felt God's presence in your life today, and that will empower you to go forward and do wonderful and great things. Don't forget Yuck Night if you have youth in your family. It is a lot of fun. It is one of those things that youth remember. And also, this is the first night, Justin, that this year's sixth graders can come to youth. So we'll have several new youth members tonight.
What a great welcome party.
What a great welcome party.
Is it like this every week?
Yeah. And I am sure that there are some, what do they call that, so they can be in the...
Hazing?
Yeah, just probably a little bit of hazing, but it'll be fun.
Is that really a good way to, like, advertise it for people to come?
Probably.
Okay, maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Justin?
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you all so much for coming. Just be encouraged. God is developing something new in you. His mercies and his bread is new every single day. And write the future with that. Okay, write the future with what he's doing. So, and remember that you are a
child of God.
And you are
not alone.
In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. God's peace be with you.